Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Many famous stage musicals have been adapted for screens, both large and small, over the years, like Funny Girl, The Sound of Music, and West Side Story. But Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella made the opposite journey. The classic children's tale was written for TV in 1957, starring Julie Andrews in the title role.
And in 2013, the show finally made its Broadway debut. We're hearing that performance during the interview. But tonight, the touring company makes its debut at the Marcus Center, and stepping into the very big glass slippers that Julie Andrews once filled is Cottage Grove, Wisconsin's Tatiana Lubov. The company's been on the road for a while, and Lubov joined me on the phone from South Carolina and began by sharing how she came to musical theater.
I was born in Madison, Wisconsin, and I grew up in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. And it was pretty natural how I got into theater because my mom was my choir teacher in high school and my dad is a composer slash arranger. So it was just kind of a given that I would do something music related. My dad was the music director at the shows at our high school, and I would be in them as an extra when I was little, and so I just kept doing it as I grew up.
What is it about musical theater in particular that drew you, as opposed to, say, opera or singing leader or something like that? You didn't go the classical route. You went the musical theater route.
Yeah, that's right. I really enjoy the crossover of like pop music and legit music. And I think that's exactly what musical theater is for me, at least the type of genres of musical theater that I prefer.
Well, and talk about that. What do you prefer? I know you're here for Cinderella, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but are there, you know, particular composers that you gravitate towards or like writing teams in the musical theater?
I do like more of the contemporary, like Jason Robert Brown, but the type of singing style that I like is mixing. So it's not necessarily in your head voice, not necessarily full out belt, but it's this kind of in between sound that I think sounds really good on my voice. And I think it's also a very healthy way of singing.
Talk about that a little more. I don't think I've ever heard that term, mixing. So you're blending those parts of your voice?
Yeah. So when you sing legit, it's more of this pure, very vibrato, sweet-sounding thing. And then when you belt, it's this very harsh, straight tone. And a lot of performers actually blow their voices out when they continuously belt. And so the way that I approach it is I combine the two, and it's basically a stronger-sounding, legit voice.
Well, I mean, you know, when I think of belting, I think of Ethel Merman. Is that the kind of belting you're talking about?
Yeah, like Idina Menzel. Like if you think of the song Let It Go, like all that high stuff at the end, she's very belty with it. I would mix it. I would definitely mix it.
Save your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
I often wonder, because your musical theater voices have, at least American musical theater voices, have a very particular sound. I think that's what we're kind of talking around. There is that sort of big, you know, push it to the back wall of the theater. Mm-hmm. And this is even before, well, maybe especially before there was any kind of sound enhancement. But you still have to belt. You still have, and you're going over an orchestra, you're going over whatever. And so there's this demand that you do it while you're also moving around. Half the time you're dancing. And so there's a hugely physical component, even more. I mean, singing is physical no matter what, but you're not just standing there singing most of the time. Mm-hmm. You're usually doing something else as well. So how do you take care of yourself?
The number one thing is drinking water, I think, because both physical movement and singing can get you very, very dehydrated, especially under the lights. And I have a dresser that follows me around my water bottle, and I think I drink like 4 or 5 bottles of water during the entirety of when we're there for call and then when we're leaving the theater. And I think that is such an important thing. Also, theming really helps, where when you get vocally tired, that's something that really helps. Just that moisture is really useful.
I was going to ask you if you had like a steamer or a humidifier.
Absolutely.
Or something like that. Yeah, so
I have both.
The warm air and warm, moist air helps.
Yeah, definitely.
I also imagine that in addition to just the difficulties of taking care of yourself doing a show, you know, 8 shows a week, you're also mm-hmm. on tour. So you've got the mm-hmm. travel stress in addition to that. So I remember hearing about, you know, the bus and truck tours where people, it was just like, you kind of wonder how they managed to survive the end of a 26-week tour or something like that. Are you guys treated better now? Are you given, you know, space and time to be able to rest your voice and to be able to get over the actual travel part of it?
Yeah, I mean, lately, because we've been doing a lot of one-nighters versus week sets in cities, where we'll be very happy to be in Milwaukee because we're there for a full week. That'll be awesome for us. But we oftentimes leave early in the morning, and people generally just sleep on the bus for the first half of the bus trip. And the second half of the bus trip, we'll either watch a movie or people have their downloaded Netflix episodes. However, everyone has their own regimen to stay sane on the bus. And then we get into the hotel at about maybe 2 or 3, and then we have an hour or so to just relax before we have to show up for mic check.
And
so it is a little hectic coming into cities, but we are given our time to stretch out and nap and relax a little bit before we go right back in.
So, as you said, you're going to be here for a week. Is this kind of like coming home for you? I know it's not Madison, but it's close.
Yeah. I have a lot of family and friends that are coming out to it. So, to me, it is like home.
And so, talk about Cinderella itself. This is not a modern musical. This has been around for quite some time, and it's a Richard Rodgers piece.
The version that we call it... the classic Cinderella tale that everyone knows and loves, but it has a modern or contemporary twist to it. And so it's kind of a cool experiment that they did, because they keep it all the Rodgers and Hammerstein canon. So there's new music involved with it, but it has this new dialogue to it that's a lot more tangible to audiences in the year of 2017. And that's something that I find really captivating about it, because it's still this show, this classic that everyone is familiar with, but it takes it and it turns Cinderella into this actual 2017 heroine that is a great role model for kids, because she's not sitting around waiting to be rescued by the prince. She's actually very politically involved. She's very driven. And it's very special for us to share with people.
It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage. It's possible for a plain country bumpkin and a prince to join in marriage. And four white mice are easily turned to horses. Such fol-de-rol and fiddle-dee-dee, of course, is quite possible. For the world is full of sadies and fools who won't believe in sensible rules and won't believe what sensible people say. And because these daft and dewy-eyed dopes keep building up impossible hopes, impossible things are happening. It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It must be more interesting to play, too.
Definitely.
For you, yeah, that this is, it's not a kind of sanitized fairy tale, that this is a real person.
Yeah.
How is it singing the music?
It's wonderful. It sits in my voice so well. I couldn't have asked for a better first gig because I feel like I'll never have to worry about, mainly because I do the mixing, which sounds great in a contemporary Rodgers and Hammerstein piece. But yeah, for me, it really is a treat to sing, especially alongside Hayden Staines, who plays the prince, because he has just a fabulous voice.
So first major gig for you. How long is the tour going on, and are you looking for the next gig, or are you still really focused on this one?
Well, right now I'm still really focusing on Cinderella, but I am also aware of auditions that are happening, and I'm sending out videos to things, but just kind of seeing where that goes and just feeling it out.
So is New York home base for you, or is Madison still home base?
I don't really have a home base right now.
You are truly a nomad.
Yeah, I am. Because I've only lived in New York for a little bit. I was subleasing there. And then I had summer work in Center Level, Maine for a little bit. And then I lived at home for a little bit. I don't really have a permanent place. I'm just going to see where I am towards the end of the tour and then decide from there where I need to make my home base.
At least put the suitcase down somewhere.
Yeah.
And not on the bus.
For more than a week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to having you here for the week that you are going to be here, and I'm sure your family and friends are thrilled that you are back as well.
Yeah.
But, Tatiana, it has been such a pleasure catching up with you, and break a leg.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be there.
Wisconsin native Tatiana Lubove stars in the title role of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. The National Touring Company production opens tonight at the Marcus Center and runs through April 2nd. There is a link to more information at WUWN.com.